Let me first pray with you, and we'll get started here. Father God, we pause just for a minute to recognize your hand in our lives. Lord, when I think about it in the context of the military, your son, our Savior, deployed to a combat zone. He left the glories of heaven and came to live on this earth to sacrifice himself for us. And God, we have so many soldiers and their families who don't know what that means, who don't know who you are and your grace towards us. And God, we just ask that as we as biblical counselors choose to come alongside them, that your name would be glorified and that you'd be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You might ask why I'm not in camouflage today. I know there'd be some jokes about you can't see me, so that's why I decided to wear this. Technically, according to my unit, I am in a uniform right now. So I'm in a civil affairs battalion, special operations, this counts, so I'm good. Let me just introduce you to my family a little bit. A year ago today, I was in jump school, learning how to fall out of a plane. Don't ask me why I do it. I choose to go to schools to learn how to spend time with my guys. If I have that opportunity, and I'll explain to you what a chaplain is in just a second, I'm going to do that. And so this time last year, I was at jump school in Fort Benning, Georgia, hanging out there and getting ready to figure out what it meant to fall out of a plane. I've now done that 11 times. That makes me somewhat good at falling. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. My wife is Shelly. She's been back there most of the time this week, but checking on our daughter who got to pin my wings on me when I graduated jump school. So our daughter's a year older than that. She'll be 3 early next month. When you think about a chaplain, I want you to do me a giant favor. If you know who this person is, I want you to get that image out of your mind. Please, please, please get that image out of your mind. If you don't know, that's Father Mulcahy from MASH. Okay, I have made a purpose in my life not to watch that show, but I've heard his name enough times to know that he's not a guy I want to name anything after. Army chaplaincy, the best way I can describe it is I'm the mayor's pastor. Okay, remember what Steve Vier said a little bit last night about how his relationships works with Major Rozorsky? That's how mine is with my battalion commander. I am on his personal staff, which means I have a constant open door to address 4 main issues: religion, ethics, morals, and morale. So I want you to imagine your mayor asks you, hey, whatever your name is, Joe Smith, I want you to come work on my staff, and I want you to advise me on how my community is doing as far as religion. Is everybody able to worship as they choose? How are their ethics? Are they doing what's right no matter what when no one's looking? How's their morals? Is their moral compass set the right direction, or is there somebody you need to check in on? And how's their morale? How are they doing overall? I get to give him those pulse updates on a regular basis. I've been pastor for 5 different mayors, and I'll use their first names just for the fun of it because I can here. Bill, I think Peter was my second one, then Brandon, Slade, and Mark. So if you think about praying for any of those 5 guys, I would really appreciate it, especially the last one. I'm going to use a couple of PowerPoint slides just to show you the background of what we're looking at. And let me go back here so you see what's going on here. This background is an attack that happened on Cop Keating. You may have heard of it in 2009. There was a CAV platoon that took fire from all around us, or all around them. 2 medals of honor have been given from that battle. But what I really want you to take out of that is that that's what our marriages look like right now. We're taking fire from every direction. And the medals of honor, basically a medal of honor is given to someone who should be dead. Okay, so as you hear about the 2, and I completely blanked on their names, those are what those guys did. They should be dead. And yet God spared their lives. Those people sacrificed their life for other people. Now, I know that I'm the only thing standing between you and dinner, or at least topic options night, right? But what I want to do right now is I want to make this something that's helpful. I want to make it something that addresses difficult situations and something that's applicable to all of us, whether you're tied in with active duty somehow, and if you are anywhere near an active duty installation, please hit me up after this. Reserve Guard Civilian. This addresses some of the challenges of post-traumatic stress disorder, or the term I like to use that I just heard about 2 years ago and I've heard once was post-traumatic growth. How do you take the issues that you face and say, I'm going to grow as a result of them? Now, let me throw a couple disclaimers out there. Okay? I will use a different language. I speak Army as well as English, but I'll try to speak in as much English as I can. If I don't define what I mean, if I throw an acronym out there or something like that, please raise your hand, throw something at me, whatever you can do to get my attention to say, hey, Mark, please define that for me because I don't know what it means. I'm going to try to also leave about 15 minutes to the end for Q&A. My wife, Shelley, has done a lot of work with wives, families, with deployed, when their soldiers are deployed and that kind of stuff. So the other thing I want to say is that I'm going to use the common that males are the soldier, okay? I have a lot of females in my battalion. I have a lot. I have a couple females that are married in my battalion. I'm not saying they're any less of a soldier. We can talk about that after if you want to. But I'm going to emphasize the fact that the typical situation is the male is the soldier and the wife is married to the soldier. And let me say this also. The correct language is this, and I'm going to help you with something. If somebody is in the Army, they are a soldier. If somebody's in the Marines, they are a Marine. Somebody just cleared their throat over there. I'm not sure what that was all about. If somebody's in the Navy, they're a sailor. And if somebody's in the Air Force, they're an airman. And every once in a while, we throw in the Coast Guard too, so I'll put them in. If somebody's in the Coast Guard, they're a guardian. Okay? Please don't compliment Marines by calling them the soldier. Now, if you don't know someone's background, call them a service member, a warrior, or a warfighter. Okay? Because if you see the little joking going on, it's kind of like a big brother, little sister kind of deal. If you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. But if we're off time and there's chances to mess around and stuff, we're going to insult the Air Force. I mean, we're going to insult anybody else we can, okay? Air Force is fun to pick on. They have recess every once in a while and, you know, love you, sir. In the Army, and I researched a couple of the other services as well, talked to some people that I know and trust. There's this thing we call the warrior ethos. And I don't know if you can read that. You probably can't because I can't even read it. But in the yellow highlight in the Army, it says, I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. And I will never leave a fallen comrade. Think about that for just a second of how that first one even affects our military, affects our military marriages. I will always place the mission first. And we're told as counselors not to say always or never, right? There's a chance that standing up here right now, my phone could ring and it'd be my battalion commander and it says, Mark, I've got a ticket waiting for you in Indy in 45 minutes or in an hour and a half. I need you to get there and I need you to get on the plane. I need you to go check on my guys who are in Africa right now. There is a chance. And I would say, babe, you've got the keys. I'm on the road, and I'll grab some clothes on the way. That's what we get to do as soldiers. It means that sometimes we set our families aside to go take care of the mission. But what that also means is that the Army gives us a lot of time off, sort of, to take care of our families. We, on a regular basis, get four-day weekends. But a lot of people will work those four-day weekends. One chaplain that I know of that's now a captain, I believe, which is their colonel, so way outranks me, says that the Marine Corps has a thing that says the primary objective of the Marine Corps leadership is to accomplish the mission, to get the job done. Anything they do is for that purpose. So I guess I need to ask you this question and let you just think about it for just a second. How do you live as the sword in Romans 13. You know that passage, right? Don't be afraid of the government. And I'm going to paraphrase it, Mark Worrell version. Please don't try to look that up.